This podcast is meant for mature audiences only and contains strong sexual language.
This is the Black and Kinky Lifestyle. With the bar and the bell.
All right, welcome to the Black and Kinky Lifestyle, where we talk about our experience as a black couple in the swinger lifestyle, married black couple, doing our thing. Thank you for tuning in. In this episode, we really want to focus on the experience we had at the Synergy Eyes Wide Shut party. God damn it. Shout out to Synergy for throwing a badass party. So we're going to get to that in a second, but there were a couple of things. You know, what's funny, this episode, I have no show notes for.
I know.
We've been busy as hell.
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know what happened to March.
I'm telling you. It's like, yo, we're already in April. The fucking grass is growing and shit.
Yeah, you gotta cut grass. This is not actually funny at all.
No, it's not. you know, complaining about that cold weather. I forgot the cold weather was keeping me off of them lawns.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And we have much more grass than we need.
God damn it. Gonna have to, like, get the bug repellent on all of our...
Shit, I forgot about that.
Yeah. The bugs, that garage got to get cleaned out now.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I'm okay with the squirrels and the rabbits and shit. They cool. Mm-hmm.
And the, what's the other things we have?
Gophers.
The gophers.
Shout out to the gophers.
They be scaring me because they definitely look like giant rats.
Mm-hmm. Yo, they really do. I mean, you know, they don't have the long snouts or whatever, but no. It's just the way they
behave.
They like stand up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They stand up and they look around like it's weird.
Anything going on? All right, now I'm going back down.
Yeah, for real. And then it'll just move real fast. It's a big ass rodent, yeah. But it could go fast. I don't know. It's weird. Anyway, motherfuckers need to stop digging holes in the backyard. That shit is not cool. Tripping over them shits. I'm too old to be tripping over holes.
I know.
So anyway, we'll be talking about our hit list in a moment. I want to read a few emails we got. Shout out to the folks that have emailing the Black and Kinky Lifestyle.
Yes, thank you.
At gmail.com. We appreciate your questions. So we're going to talk about that. And I mentioned that I didn't put any show notes together because you and I had just did our taxes today.
I know. But I have to say thank you, Republican Congress, because I'm not going to say, like, I'm not going to thank.
45.
Nah, I can't do that. But thank you, Republican Congress, because as an anomaly, unlike other people, we actually paid less this year than we paid last year.
That's right.
So the tax changes worked out for us.
Yeah, they worked out this year. They're probably going to throw us into a financial collapse in another 3 years.
Yeah, probably.
Or maybe next year. This might come sooner than later. But this is like a small short-term victory for us.
Yes, I'm here for it. Like, I'm here for the short-term victory. I was like, what?
Yeah, this is always a dark time.
We never get money back, but... at least we didn't have to pay as much.
Yeah, we didn't have to put taxes into our budget for this year, paying last year's taxes with this year's budget. Yeah. We didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
You know. So anyway, I mentioned that because we had went to lunch afterwards to celebrate. Celebrate. We weren't gonna go bankrupt over taxes. And I was talking about the show because I realized so much time had passed by that we needed to upload another episode soon.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, I have a lot of topics in my head, but I didn't prepare for the next episode like I usually do. And so you and I just started talking.
Yeah.
And I was like, we need to talk about that on the show. Mm-hmm. We knew we were going to talk about Eyes Wide Shut, but there's something that happened during this, I guess, the sticky pages portion, the sexy portion of that party.
Yeah.
There were some things I actually wanted to talk about there too. And it really has to do with kissing and the it's more than just kissing.
Yes.
It's like
the important point is you got me drunk at lunch.
Yeah, so we started talking very candidly, and I made the bell a drink, so she's going to be more belly. All right. So let's start with, and then there was something about race I wanted to talk about.
Don't we always talk about race?
We do. And, you know, at some point we'll go into this topic a little deeply, but there's something really interesting that you mentioned that we might not have talked about.
Okay.
So let's start with the hit list.
Hit list, bitches.
So we started, so we watched Us.
Yes,
recently.
We did.
What'd you think of the movie?
I loved it. I did not like it as much as Get Out. I like Get Out better, but I still enjoy the movie overall. It keeps me thinking. Like, I'm still thinking about it. I'm like, wait, did that mean?
Yeah.
What?
Jordan Peele. Shout out to Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
For again putting together another movie that makes us think. This wasn't mm-hmm. just a popcorn flick, although you can treat it that way. But this was a movie that just got in our brains, and I love it. It's because one thing is it works just as far as intellectual dialogue, but it also helps Hollywood because it's making people go watch the film twice. Oh, yeah. People are
we'll
all
probably
over
go
YouTube.
See it again.
Oh yeah, definitely. Because the experience will be quite different watching it the second time. Mm-hmm. Now that you sort of have the context for it, so we're not going to spoil anything in the movie. Just to shout out all the actors in the movie, especially the. You know, the black antagonist and protagonist, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They were cool. So, but special shout out to Lupita, because this was really a movie about her.
Yes.
And her doppelganger villain.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, let's talk about the folks on that show that turned us on a little bit.
I was definitely here for, I'm going to call him Tether Daddy.
Tether Daddy, oh
yes.
Shit.
Winston Duke, but his doppelganger. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, he was already, like, on the list from Black Panther, as in Baku.
Ooh, ooh.
Yeah. But, so I couldn't get down with his above ground character, because he was just...
Too corny.
Way too corny.
Okay.
Way too corny.
Wow. So you would rather have the doppelganger dude.
Yes.
He looked like he'd be a rough one, though.
Exactly.
He would definitely pick you up.
See, that you already understand what I'm talking about. That's the whole point.
And he'd be talking this the tethered language. Mm. Just, you know.
Stop, no, I'm gonna do it.
But
you know
what's
so,
ass,
you know what's so interesting? Like, I was with some folks and we were talking about the movie, and I don't think this isn't a spoiler, but I'm gonna call him Above Ground Daddy has on a Howard sweatshirt, because yes, you know, shout out to HBCUs,
shout out to Howard,
and it was of course some Howard folks, and they were like, "Ain't no way." A dude that corny went to Howard. Like, they was mad. Like, they was really upset. They was like, "But why you gotta have a corny dude have the Howard sweatshirt on?" He was like, they were like, "He's definitely a Hampton guy." I was like, for real?
Wow.
Like, the HU hate is that serious? Like, at least they shouting out, you know, HBCUs in mainstream film. Like,
right.
You know, be happy about that. No, they were not happy.
Hmm.
But I understand. Like, I've never met a Howard dude that corny.
Right. He was very corny.
He was the uberest of corny.
Yeah, yeah. He played corny very well. Shout out to the actor.
Yeah. Winston Duke, who's Caribbean.
Oh, he's Caribbean? Why did I think he was West African?
Nah, he's Caribbean. He's from Trinidad and Tobago.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Great actor, because, you know, he played very different character.
Very
different character in Black Panther.
Yes. I was like, how did he even make his voice that high? Like, there was just so many things.
Yeah.
Long story short, I'm here for Tether Daddy.
You know, this is interesting because, you know, I'm clearly here for Lupita.
Yes.
And I would definitely smash.
And we both got the locks going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I got the locks.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lupita, non-tethered Lupita, I did not I wasn't above as ground intrigued. Lupita? Yeah, above ground Lupita. I wasn't as intrigued by her as I was intrigued by Red, aka Tethered Lupita.
Yeah,
the main antagonist of the film. You know, she did not have locks. She had bushy umfufu, fucked up afro. Naps, BDBs.
I don't think they have shea moisture in the tunnels.
But clearly they got somebody making clothes. I mean,
or something,
you know, there's
yes.
something going on yes, down there. They got some infrastructure. No spoilers.
Nah.
But Homegirl just really fascinated me. Mm-hmm. Because, again, I'm not going to spoil it, but at the climax of the film, there is a showdown.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in it and it looks amazing. Like I just ate it up. There was something so hot and graceful about the showdown. For those who haven't watched it,
it was, yeah,
watch it. And for those who have watched it, you should know what I'm talking about. But there was something so sexy about the conflict. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it's probably the sick part of my mind. But it was just like light and darkness just kind of just battling it out, and just, you know, the soundtrack in the background. I was like, oh, I think I'm getting aroused watching this shit. This doesn't make sense. So Tethered Lupita, aka Red,
mm-hmm.
I would definitely hit that.
Yeah,
I don't give a fuck if she don't got eyebrows.
She ain't eyebrows?
I don't think so.
I ain't noticed that.
Nah, she ain't have no damn
eyebrows.
See, now
eyebrows. We gotta watch it again.
Oh no, we will watch it again. Believe that shit. So that rounds out the hit list. For those of you who saw us, let us know who's on your hit list. The cast wasn't really that wide in this film.
No.
I mean, it really focused on the family. But there were some surprises in it, so check it out.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to emails. And I'm going to read one from, I'll just say her first initial is S. So I'll just read this out. Hello, my name is S. I'm a 52-year-old black female. My husband and I live in this place. Listen to your podcast on SoundCloud. Woo woo. I really enjoyed the content you discuss and seem relatable. However, I'm quite older than you and Belle, but I'd like to know what's your recommendation for a 52-year-old couple who's looking to get into the lifestyle. I would consider myself queer. It's been very hard to find people to play with, black people especially. I have a lot of fear and paranoia. Normally, we frequent clubs. There's one club in her area she frequents, but it's really seems to be geared towards the younger side. So she says, my husband is not a big fan of the internet as far as setting up a page to meet and greet because he doesn't feel comfortable because of our age. Do you have any recommendations or share with me how old people meet or what social media page I can look into? I know you mentioned the getaways, but I'm not sure if you ever say when you guys party, like at nightclubs. Thank you, and keep up the good work. Thank you, S.
Thank you.
For your email.
So first of all, I wouldn't say 52 is old.
I'm telling you.
Like, I mean, it's older than us, but I wouldn't consider that, like, old. Or maybe, you know, I don't know. Anyway.
I would fuck a 52-year-old.
I know you would fuck a 52-year-old. Anyway, I would fuck a 52-year-old. I am not ageist. That, it hasn't worked out for me yet.
Haven't you? What's the oldest you've gone? I feel like you've gone older.
Than 52?
I don't know. I don't know how old the guy was. I just know he was not in our age group. He was not in our typical age target.
And I fucked him?
Yes.
Who you talking about?
At the cabin getaway.
Oh, yeah. He might have been. Yeah. He might have been his 50s.
Are you over here forgetting dicks?
Yeah. Okay, so it did work out for me once, but there's some other ones
that
didn't work out. Not because, like, I was like, oh, he's too old. Just
they weren't moving at our pace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I would say one, like, I feel like, and they're in our area, so I feel like the clubs that we go to, there's only a couple clubs here. Like, there's definitely a age range. Like, it's, I mean, it's 30s to, I would say 60s.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, I would say it's around there. It depends on who's promoting the party. Now, that's very key because different, you know, party promoters are going to draw a different crowd. So when you're looking at who's promoting a party, like, look who's RSVP. Look who's interested. Look who the party promoter is. Because if they're an older couple, they may tend to draw other older couples. I would also say, like y'all just gonna have to get on the internet. Like,
that was my thing. I'm right? like you have to, like, you can't just randomly. I mean,
nah.
you got to understand you're part of a smaller group, just like us. Like, not only are you looking for an older crowd, but you're looking for, like, maybe a black crowd. Yeah. So now you really have to dig into your research. You don't have, like, the privilege to just run into your tribe.
Right. And it's not even just like trying, like, making a profile on SLS or Cassidy or something like that for to meet a couple, but just to find out what events are going on.
Right.
But like that, like, even if you make a profile that, you know, you don't put up your picture or anything like that,
yep,
but just so you can get access to know what events are going on in your area, I think that would be useful to you. Cause then you can see, you know, oh, well, you know, this is an event that's going on. This is the crowd that's going to be there. Cause I mean, not all the time, but a lot of the time people will RSVP and they'll say if they're going to an event, and then you can see, okay, what's the age range looking like? You know, is it going to be younger? Is it going to be, you know, an older crowd? And then go from there. I would also say, like, looking at vacations, I would say, like, looking at, you know, resorts, like some of the resorts, because I feel like, with the exception of, like, Young Swingers Week at some of the resorts and some of the party promoters, that crowd tends to be older because we just don't have as much disposable income. Like, we, you know, we can't be going on vacation all the time. But a older crowd, you know, and if you, especially if you have adult kids and you're retired, like, first of all, you have all the time. You know, y'all have more time than us, mm-hmm, and you may have more disposable income. So looking at those venues too for finding a crowd. And it's just, I mean, it's just getting out there. Like, don't be discouraged. You know, I would hate for an older couple to feel like they couldn't approach us because we're younger than them. And mind you, we look younger than we actually are.
Yeah.
Black
don't crack, though.
Exactly. And you probably look younger than you do. So, like, don't feel like you just can't approach somebody. Like, the worst that can happen is they're just like, oh, the chemistry is not working for us, and then move on to someone else. Like, it's, you know, it's not the end of the world. Like, of course, you may be disappointed if it's a couple you're really attracted to, but fuck it, shoot your shot. Like, look, you ain't got nothing better to do. Shoot your fucking shot. Like, you just don't know what might happen. And for younger couples who are out there being ages, like, you don't know what you're missing. Like, a dude that's been fucking his whole for fucking 50 years? Like, he has mastered eating pussy. Like, do you know how many pussies he ate at 52 years old? Like, these young niggas, these young 28-something, they don't know the fuck they doing. They ain't been eating pussy for 50 years. Or maybe 40. But still, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. So, I mean,
an old nigga can change your life. That's all,
yes,
I'm saying.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, I would say get online and, you know, I'm on SLS a lot, so I see the couples who are looking at our page, and I'm telling you, there are a lot of older couples in the lifestyle. There's, mm-hmm, there's a lot of them, and, you know, I would see SLS as an opportunity to see, you know, what events are going on, but, you know, also see it as an opportunity to ask other older couples questions.
Yeah.
Where are they going? You want to just check out where the parties are. You don't necessarily need to meet up with them or anything. You just want some information. And I can tell you that, you know, the lifestyle is very friendly in terms of just educating folks on what this is all about and what they can do to get their nut. So,
yeah, people will tell you where they're going, where they're hanging out. More than likely, your crew is doing more house parties and, like, get together, meet and greets and those kind of things. Like, they're going to the club, but probably not as often. You know, I think they're, you know, probably small groups meeting up at the house. The other thing is, again, older people with their extra time, perhaps if they're not working, have a lot more time to work out.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the older men that I've met have been in very good shape.
Oh, yes, they have.
Because, again, don't have nothing else better to do. Mm-hmm. But fuck young girls and go to the gym.
These older folks got something better to do. They got other stuff going on, but thanks for your question. I just realized, I wanted to move on to one more email because I think we only have time to answer one more email. This one, we'll probably have an episode on at some point, but I'll just read it out. Initials from AP. So, hey guys, I'm just reading this out. Love the podcast. I've been discussing some of your topics with my girlfriend as we explore threesomes. Okay, do your thing. Discovering your podcast has been great for helping facilitate further discussion. So that said, can you talk about safe sex practices and disease prevention? For example, are people regularly testing and displaying test results at parties? Are people having conversations about results prior to engaging each other? Steps you take to ensure the experiences are safe as possible? Is part of the lifestyle a gamble? That's in quotes, and I really like that one. When it comes to the STI domain, sexually transmitted infections, that's what STI stands for. Also, how you navigate things such as herpes, which can easily be passed even with a condom. Thanks. Okay, so this is a great question, and I'm going to be very candid with this one. So let me just hit these questions one by one. So the first question is, are people having conversations about their results prior to engaging each other? And then I think there was a question before that about displaying test results at parties.
I have never seen that happen before.
Never seen that happen. And
doesn't mean it doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it doesn't. But I mean, even when it comes to test results, it's an interesting thing, because when you think about diseases like HIV, I mean, it takes 6 months to a year for that shit to even be detectable. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So you can be getting a recent test result, but that might not tell you much about, you know, it can be very
misleading.
But again, you know, it's better than not having a test result at all, right? But we've never seen that. Are people regularly having conversations about results prior to engaging each other? That's also not something I've seen or heard. Mm-hmm. I can't name, outside of people saying that they're drug and disease free DDF mm-hmm. on their profiles, I have not heard a reference to it.
So some of our friends have talked about their testing regimen.
That they've been tested?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess that's something. I still think it's quite meaningless. I mean, mm-hmm. Anybody can say that.
That's true.
And even if you got tested, like, there's so many other questions. Like, what did you get tested for? When did you get tested? Mm-hmm. How did you get tested? So steps you take to make sure your experiences are as safe as possible. Listen, you know, again, the risk is always out there. And if I can compare it to like getting, you know, a car accident, right? Mm-hmm. Let's just think of a car accident as the one thing we're all trying to prevent. Nobody wants to be in a car accident, right? Okay? The only 100% way to be free of the possibility of getting in a car accident.
Don't drive.
Not only that, no, because even if you don't drive, you can still be walking on the sidewalk and get hit. So don't leave your house. Not true. If you happen to be in a house and that house is hit by a car, okay, so even us, we're sitting in our house right now, there's a chance that we can be in a car accident. The chance is minimal, but it's still there. Mm-hmm. Okay. The only way to really eliminate it is to go to an island where there are no cars, mm. no car accident. But it would be a really unreasonable way to live for us.
Right.
So, you know, I think as soon as we leave our house, we're increasing our risk for a car accident. Mm-hmm. As soon as we get in our car, we increase it even more. Once we start that engine and start driving, it has increased even more. Once we get on the highway, now we're really putting ourselves at risk.
Yeah.
But we have a seatbelt on to prevent ourselves from actually getting certain permanent forms of injury,
right.
In order, you know, just as a safeguard and assuming that we're in a car accident. But there should be, I hope you understand this, that every time you get in that car and you drive, you are putting yourself at risk for an accident.
Yeah.
Because you can't control the other cars on the road. There are so many other circumstances you don't know. There are certain histories of those drivers you don't know. There are certain histories of those automobiles you don't know. Mm-hmm. Even the damn traffic signals might go off on you. You don't know what might happen. But every single day we get in that car and we take that risk because we assume, I think intuitively, that it is a reasonable risk to take in order to live our lives.
Right.
I think when it comes to sex, it's the same thing, because even if you are not engaged in the lifestyle, if you are having unprotected sex with one partner, you are still putting yourself at risk for sexually transmitted infections, mm-hmm. because you cannot say without a doubt what that other partner is doing or has done. So with that said, if you're engaging in the lifestyle and you're having sex with other people in the lifestyle, you are always putting yourself at risk.
Yes.
We recognize that every single time we engage in sex with other partners outside of our relationship, we're putting ourselves at more risk than we would be if we sort of stuck with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are certain precautions we take. And again, this is something we consider reasonable given the lifestyle that we choose to live. So one, we use condoms
We're
engaging in intercourse. No question about that. There's still a risk there. Now, we use the condoms to prevent a number of STDs, particularly some of the common ones around chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. They're really good at preventing those, as well as the monster HIV, commonly referred to as the monster HIV/AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
Or just the HIV virus, I should say. You know, we have confidence in, you know, our ability to avoid those infections. One, you know, we're not having sex with everybody under the sun. You know,
right.
We do get to know people, but, you know, sometimes we don't. But condoms are always a must. Two, we keep our eyes open. I mean, if I see blisters, no.
Right. And that has happened.
Yeah.
Where we were at an event and an individual had a visible blister and we were like, nah, that person wasn't on the list anyway.
Right.
But just so everybody was clear,
we're not fucking with it. We don't know what it is, or
that person's partner.
Right. But again, you know, that's not even, you know, that's as far as it can go, because
right.
One thing, you know, folks I think need to know for sure is that both herpes and HPV, these are generally non-curable STDs that aren't necessarily as deadly as, say, syphilis or HIV, but mm-hmm. can lead to reoccurring, you know, outbreaks, so
right.
to speak. And you don't necessarily have to be having a visible wart in the case of HPV, or a visible sore in the case of herpes, in order to be contagious, and condoms will not protect you from that.
Right.
So if you are really worried about those diseases, and you recognize that condoms aren't really going to protect you from them 100%, and you're not willing to take the risk, yo, don't do the lifestyle. Like, don't do it. I mean, because it's a reality. You're at risk for those things.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is you have always been at risk.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't even, you know, most of the people listening to this be like, wait, what are you talking about? Herpes? I thought condoms could prevent that.
Nah.
No, condoms actually, no.
I mean, and men that carry the HPV virus don't even display any symptoms.
Usually,
and
yeah.
They usually don't display symptoms and they can't be tested for it.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, the risk is out there, you know, it's always out there. But it's, you know, about doing the best that you can to protect yourself, mm-hmm. To test yourself. We also test regularly, mm-hmm. at about 6 month intervals. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the most, you know, you can do. You can go to extra lengths. We don't use dental dam for oral or anything like that.
I'd rather just not do it. Than, yeah. To be honest.
But yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and sometimes even if you're using condoms break, in which case that's probably a time where you just want to get tested quickly. But outside of that, my man, the risk is there. There's no getting the risk down to zero.
No.
You can get it as low as you can by using condoms and just keeping your eyes open and just like, you know, if I knew there was a couple that was engaging in the lifestyle and having unprotected sex in the lifestyle, I'm going to be honest, I would not play with that couple. Mm-hmm. But if I know a couple practices safer sex, like I'd be more comfortable with that. So those are the precautions we take. I've never seen a dental dam in the lifestyle ever. I've never seen people give head in the lifestyle with a condom on. I haven't seen it yet. I'm sure it happens.
It's horrible.
Yeah. I'd rather not do it. So I hope that answer satisfies you. We'll probably have a more, comprehensive episode on the topic, but thank you for your question. We appreciate it. All right. Before we get into the Eyes Wide Shut event, Belle, mm-hmm. you said something at lunch that just fascinated me.
Mm.
Okay. So we were talking about couples we played with, and right. then we got to the swinging yogis and our experience with them. And you said something to me about, because I was wondering, because usually, because you have a very particular type.
Yes.
And the swinging yogis were great. But there's something that the Mr. Yogi had mentioned that really intrigued you. And mm-hmm. I wanted you to be candid about what that was. Because we need to really break this shit down. Because this is going to confuse some of our listeners. So go ahead.
Well, it wasn't necessarily something he said. We were playing the game of lifestyle. That's what it's called.
The lifestyle card game.
The lifestyle card game. And one of the truth cards was, have you ever played with a person of another race? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he ho-hummed over the card for a little bit and like was like looking at his wife and, you know, doing all this stuff. And I was like, I know that shit is no. Like, I don't even know why you like playing around, like whatever. Uh-huh. And so, yeah, his response was like, no, I don't think I have, you know, uh-huh. I don't think I have done right. that before, whatever.
But he said particularly he hasn't been with a black woman before, right?
No, he didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
He just said he hadn't played with anyone of another race.
Well, would it have made a difference if he had said black?
Nah.
Okay. All right.
Mm-mm.
Okay. So keep going. Go.
So that was like, you know, that was okay. Mental note. Aha. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mental note there. Because he was very flirty with me.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, not just me, but, you know, the other women.
No, he
there.
Was cool.
Yeah.
No,
he was, flirty he with was cool. He had cool personality, yeah. all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, so I took that as a mental note that meant that he had never been with a black woman before.
Mm-hmm. I'm just remembering who else was playing that game. But he had two very hot exactly. ass black women playing mm-hmm. that game with us.
Yes. And so what that triggered in me was now I'm going to show out.
Okay.
Right. Because, you know. If you are going to have an experience, like it's gotta be one of the best experiences you've had. Right. Cause
right.
you know, you got these two badass black girls here, mm-hmm. like, you know, now I'm going to show out.
Now you got a point to prove.
Yeah, exactly.
So the reason why this fascinated me is because, I had shared a post on Twitter. It was, part of a conversation that somebody had shared with me. And the conversation was somewhat awkward. This was a black couple who shared this with us. And the conversation was somewhat awkward because the the couple that was chatting with them had said that they've never been with a black couple before. Mm-hmm. And this was one of their, this is how they started, right. You know, talking to the black couple. And the black couple just got kind of turned off by it. Mm-hmm. And I got turned off by it too. I was just like, this isn't really cool. And you agreed with that, that it's not cool.
No, it's not.
And so I was thinking about that and I'm like, well, you know, some white folks are going to get confused by, well, not just white folks, but I think, you know, there are certain people that are going to get confused with the nuance between the differences between the difference between how Mr. Yogi came at you, mm-hmm. or how Mr. Yogi presented, like, never been with a black couple or never been with a black person, and how it was presented by this other couple. Mm-hmm. Why was it so offensive by that other couple? And I wanted to, or why might it be a turnoff?
Because in with a couple that presented it like, oh, we've never played with a black couple before and we want to play with one, like, you know, that being the first thing that they said to me, that was presenting it as fetishization, mm-hmm. for one, and reducing that couple just to their color, mm-hmm. right? In my situation, it was, I had this interaction with a man who just thought that, you know, he just liked me as a person, and that, you know, he thought I was, you know, pretty or whatever, or sexy and all that kind of stuff, and I happened to be black. Right. And he hadn't had that experience before. Now, all pussy is pink. So, you know, I don't know. Like, I've never had a white pussy before. So I don't know if, like, my pussy has more tricks in it or like, I don't know. I don't know what the, you know, I can't make that comparison.
Right.
You know, I know there's good pussy and bad pussy. I definitely know that. But I don't think that's that you can draw that line by color. Mm-hmm. And so to be like, oh, I haven't tried this, so I want that because it's a different color. Mm-hmm. I think is a different, more narrow-minded approach than, you know, I enjoy this person and mm-hmm. I want to experience them, and then they happen to have right. this other characteristic.
Right. So I think if I just, so I understand that, like, it was clear that the way you were interacting with him, that he, or at least how you felt, and this is probably the most significant, how you felt in your interactions before he even revealed that, mm-hmm. was that he liked you as a person.
Right.
Like, he was trying to get to know you.
Yeah.
Like, the black thing didn't come up. It wasn't a thing.
Mm-mm.
It might have been a thing in his head.
Right.
But in terms of the interaction between you and him, it didn't come up. And it made you feel like you were wanted as a person.
Yeah.
I think this is so important to understand. And so the reason why the race thing even came up is not because he brought it up.
Right.
It's because there was a card that asked a question about whether or not you've been with another race before.
Mm-hmm.
And then you heard he hasn't been with a black person before. Now, the way you interpreted that was, okay, he likes you and it's just a fact. He has
right.
not been with a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
But you took that and you were thinking, oh, well, I like this dude. I'm gonna show him what this black pussy can do. Now, that's different from the other example, because a couple, now if he had come up to you, and this is how the other couple did it in a way that was kind of a turnoff. If he came up to you and said, hey, how you doing, Belle? It's nice to meet you. I've never been with a black woman before.
Oh, he's not getting any pussy.
He would have been finished.
Yeah, this is over, done.
Because he hasn't demonstrated.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And there were times where you had played with a guy. And then after you guys had played and got comfortable with each other, he said, you know, I've never been with a black woman before.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't a turnoff for
no.
you.
No.
Right. And so I think in many ways, this comes back to what I say about just not being an asshole.
Right.
Because it's not about what you're thinking, right?
Yeah.
You could be thinking the whole time, damn, this black chick is bad. Damn, this black chick is bad. I can't fuck this up. And then you're just sort of talking to her and you're being mm-hmm. nice and you're charming her and you just playing your game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then it could all work out. The whole time in your head could have been like, yo, this chick is bad. She's black. I've just never been with a black chick. But you don't want to be an asshole. Right. So don't fucking be an asshole and don't fuck it up. Yeah. And it'll be all good.
It will be.
I love it. All right. Okay. I just wanted to get that out of the way.
Don't be an asshole.
So if folks are confused about our stance on this, and you know, I want to be clear here. I mean, even me and Belle have debates on what would be considered racist and not racist.
Yes, that's
true. Not every couple is going to respond the way Belle did, and might even consider some of what she heard as, you know, a turn on versus a turn off. But I thought it was important to share that perspective.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about our Eyes Wide Shut event. Mm-hmm. Thrown by Synergy. Shout out to Synergy.
Yes.
Definitely not a disappointing party. We're definitely glad we went.
Oh, yeah.
So, Eyes Wide Shut. If folks haven't seen the Eyes Wide Shut movie starring Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman, check it out.
I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, and I think...
But I've seen synopses.
Right. No, you've seen enough because I've obsessed about the movie for a while.
I need an explanation.
Yeah.
About, like, why there is a whole party centered around this.
Mm-hmm. You still don't understand why?
No, I get it now. That's what I'm saying. I need an explanation in the beginning to be like, why, like, what's the significance?
Right. So Eyes Wide Shut, for those of you who don't know, again, this is a great movie, came out in the 90s. This was a very lifestyle relevant party, but probably more generally a movie, I suggested party, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
a lifestyle centered sort of movie. I think it's relevant for the lifestyle, but more generally relevant for just thinking about sexuality as an adult. I think for the most part, people think of sex as they sort of approach it in a very naive sense. Mm. And that is, you know, boy meets girl, boy falls in love with girl, boy and girl have sex and they're just turned on by each other and nothing else.
Forever and ever.
Right.
The end.
And Eyes Wide Shut just completely, like, assaults that assumption, like, in vivid detail, because the Tom Cruise character in the film is walking around with this assumption, even though he himself has these, like, unpure, non-traditional sexual desires.
Spoilers?
Well, no, I don't think this is a spoiler at all. But basically, he himself has, this is true, I think, for most people in the world. Like, you have these internal sexual desires, but you're assuming that your partner does it.
Right.
Doesn't, right? Because they love you. Mm-hmm. And and that assumption is just really just assaulted in this movie in some pretty unique ways, I think. But anyway, I'm not going to talk about the film too much, but just say that there was a famous scene in the movie.
That was reenacted at the party.
That was reenacted at the party. It's basically like an exclusive, like, sex cult where people were engaging in orgies and people were wearing masks and they had cloaks on.
Wait, are
really
we in a
exclusive
sex cult?
What?
Are we in a sex cult?
So... No. No. It was a good question. It was a good question, so I had to think about it. So I'm going to mention the Priori Society, because they would say, and I would agree with them, that this is more so an exclusive subculture.
Okay, I get it.
Okay. But everybody's welcome if they're ready.
If they're ready.
If they're ready. So Eyes Wide Shut required everybody to put on masks and cloaks, although some people follow that
loosely.
And some people didn't. And it was awesome. A lot of folks showed up. Very hot couple showed up. So let's just do this play by play. So we met up with Mr. and Mrs. Jackson.
Yes.
They were staying at a hotel room. We weren't going to stay at a hotel room because we just didn't feel that it was necessary. But we met up with them, had a few drinks with them, met another couple.
Yeah.
And you thought this, you were totally like, I would fuck the guy.
Yeah, he was fuckable.
Yeah. And the woman was definitely fuckable. I liked her. She had sex appeal and I loved her outfit. Mm-hmm. And Chloe and Mr. Jackson were looking sexy.
Well, they're
always
fuckable.
Oh yeah, always. So we ended up meeting up at the party location, which looked like it was like in a little strip mall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't even know it was there.
It was very unassuming.
Right. But we walked in, they had the place really decorated, really well lit. They had the DJ on, had some food, some BYOB bar. And yeah, I think we just sort of stood around. They had some tricks, some tricks. Yeah, they had some chicks, some performers rather.
Yes, fire eating. Was she eating the fire? No, she was just blowing.
I think she
on
was
it.
Just dancing with the fire.
Okay,
in her
so
hand.
Fire dancing.
Yeah,
fire dancing, and then I think there was like another like pole.
Yeah, there was a pole dancer, and then there were a couple of patrons that were playing with the pole, playing on the pole, and that was cool.
Now, what I have to give, like I have to give Synergy props on their play spaces, because
their play space was awesome. Yeah,
are always on point.
Yeah.
They're just decorated very nicely, and you know they have like. They have some group spaces, but a lot of their spaces are very intimate spaces. Like they're big enough that you could have, you know, maybe 4 or 5 couples in a space, but not so big that you feel like everybody's there. Like you could still have your own little party. I just really enjoy their play spaces. Like of any of the play spaces that we've ever played in, I like their play spaces the best.
Yeah, they have great, great play spaces, and this play space was no exception. Mm-hmm. They had like, it was like 2 floors.
Yeah.
The bottom floor had like tents and like, you know, it just looked really nice. Lots of space. And then upstairs, me, you, and the Jacksons were walking around touring the play space. And I think when we went upstairs, and we saw the play space upstairs because it was sort of overlooking all the other
play
mattresses.
It was like a loft,
And it had these lights that made it look like you were underwater. I just looked at everybody and said, listen, if I'm fucking tonight, I'm fucking in here. We're coming up here. That's where we're doing this. So, that was good. The DJ was okay. I have a feeling he wasn't really that interested in people dancing at this party. I think maybe the host did that deliberately. Mm-hmm. So anything else about... Oh, we saw some other friends there.
Yeah, we did. I will say that the crowd was still sexy, but this crowd was not as diverse as the New Year's Eve crowd.
Yeah, I would second that.
Mm-hmm.
I would second that, and it's... And I don't know if it had anything to do with the theme, but, you know, it might have had some things to do with just when it happened.
Because
there was
a lot of
parties
events,
going on. I mean,
because
there was an Amore Hotel social party we missed. And I know there was an interracial party we missed that night, too. So
all the black people just didn't come to this one.
They had
other options.
Just a select few came to this one, but it's cool. I think that does it all for just the main party. So let's just get into Sticky Pages. There's a couple of things I want to talk about here. So we're not a couple that's very, we're still learning the transition.
Oh yeah, we're horrible,
skill.
Horrible at transition. I know I am.
And so this is important because it sort of leads into our Sticky Pages really well. But I'll just say that I was listening to that couple next door, J and K, their last episode. Their episodes are always hot. Like I recommend people check them out. But Jay said this he had this really great description of the conflict between, I say conflict, use the word conflict loosely, but this conflict between he and Kay, and it's really about the transition. Oftentimes women are better equipped at pushing the transition because honestly, like dudes, dudes want to fuck. I mean, you know, these niggas want to smash. I mean, there's no real skill needed in the transition zone for the guys. It's all about the women. Mm. And so he was talking about, like, sometimes he doesn't want to, he wants to tell his partner, okay, listen, if we're going to transition, it would be, you know, it'd be helpful if you did this, or, you know, why don't you just do this? Because it would lead us really naturally into transition, into play. And he doesn't want to push her. But he also, and this is the best, but he also knows that when she does these things, the reward for her is great. It works for her really well. Like, it's not like it's just about him. He's like, right. Yo, if you do this, you'll be fucking happy. If you don't do it, then you're not going to be happy. Yeah. But I don't want to push you into something you don't want to do. And I was like, that explains the conflict, or the I think sometimes between you and I when it comes to transitioning, that's the thing. Like, I don't want to push you too hard, but I'm like, if you don't do this thing, you're not going to be happy.
Yeah, I mean, and that's exactly what happened. And like, I was in a mood that night because, like, I had been day drinking. And so, like, I was tired and, like, the music wasn't that great. And I just wasn't feeling it.
Yeah.
At that point. And you were like, I need you to do this. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that.
And then I explained, and then when we were on the way home, and this kind of aggravated me a little bit, but I'm getting older and I'm learning to let things go. And then you said, when I explained to you why I needed you to do that, you were like, oh, if I had known that.
I was like, yeah, if you had given me some context, then I would have been like, oh, okay. Like, I would have just sucked it up.
Yeah.
And done it. But it was like, you were just like, do this. And I was just like, nah, like, nah.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was literally telling you, listen, we got to do this now because the time is running out. Like, this place is about to close and something needs to happen. So the thing was, I couldn't explain all of that to you in the moment. That would have been awkward. But I was just trying to tell you, like, you just need to trust me. Like, I'm not being selfish. I'm not saying, like, okay, I need you to do this so I can bust a nut. I'm saying I need you to do this because I know that what's on the other end of the tunnel is what you want.
Right.
So that's what I wanted to mention. So that's something I learned, or that's so something you learned.
Long story short, trust your man. Blase.
Well, depending on the man, I'm just telling you to trust me. You know, because I'm gonna bust it up one way or another. I mean, I'm not really committed to. So that's one thing I learned about my that's one thing we learned, I think, as a couple. So we go to the playroom. So basically at some point, Mr. and Mrs. Jackson, Mr. and Mrs. Jackson and us go upstairs to the playroom, play area. And then we start doing our parallel thing. I think when we were done with that first round, Pam and Rich, who we had met earlier that night.
Yeah, we had a conversation with them.
Yeah, just a conversation. They were a nice couple. Mm-hmm. But they peeked into our playroom and just kind of greeted us. And, you know, I think they knew Mr. and Mrs. Jackson. We hadn't really known them.
But I waved them in because I wave everybody in.
Right. I mean, they were.
It's a party.
They were this beautiful black, brown, dark skin. Twosome. And we just invited them in and
you know how black they were?
How black were they?
They like smelled like shea butter, like cocoa butter. And incense. I'm not kidding. Like it's not, no, it was a good thing. Like I was like, but I was like, y'all smell like like a real black house. like you know, you walk in a black house and you like, yeah, these are like the roots. Like black people, like they got the incense burning, they only use black soap, like they're in touch with their ancestors.
Yes. We felt their ancestors walk in the playroom.
Yes. I was like, there's nothing synthetic here, like it's all you know, natural, like real black.
Yes. Diaspora.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, that is hilarious. So they came in and they got naked immediately.
They did.
And
well, we were naked. So.
Right, we were all naked. So I guess, you know. So so here's what I'll say. What happened to me? So Miss Jackson was being super slut, and she saw that my dick needed rescue.
We really need t-shirts.
You really do. And so she started, you know, she went down on me, and she was doing an excellent job. And then like her ass was in the air, and it was just so round and so shiny. I just started touching it. And like, I have a habit of doing this. I should probably not do this a lot, especially given what happened, because, you know, just letting her do her thing. But then I felt her pussy and it was just like, it was just so wet.
Mm.
And I started going in there, and I think like I've mastered your vagina.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have mastered it. Like I know where the buttons are. I know when to press them. And like I had never quite been in her vagina before this moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sort of fingering her, massaging her clit, like, you know, I'm going in and I'm just like, you know, doing my thing. I'm just exploring her. And
now, to give some background, like we said, oral is not my preference. Like getting my pussy ate is not my preference.
Yeah.
And so a good finger bang will do me much better than eating me out. So you have really worked on the dexterity of your fingers and pussy.
Right, right, right.
Because that's just my preferred stimulation.
Right. Okay. So you have contributed to my finger mastery.
Yeah.
And I was fingering you at the same time, although I was using my left hand, which is something I feel I need to work on now. Because both hands were in pussy. So I'm fingering Miss Jackson and I feel something.
Mm.
And she starts to quiver a little bit and I'm like, oh shit, I think I found her button.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I found that G spot.
Yeah.
So the way her vagina was responding, or the way her pussy was responding, I'll keep this sexy. like it felt like she was going to squirt.
Mm-hmm.
And I was ready for some Amrika. but then she was quivering and then she came. She stopped sucking my dick. That's when I knew it was serious. That's when I knew
that's what you know, because you can't concentrate no more.
Yeah, can't concentrate no more. And her body quivered and like she came and everybody stopped because it was really intense. Like, mm-hmm. you know, Pam was there. She's like, holy shit, I felt that. And I wasn't even the one get fingered. So like we were all touching each other and shit, and you know, I think Chloe needed to recover.
Mm-hmm.
But that turned me on so much. And what I realized is that I get tunnel vision when I'm turned on like that. Like it was like, okay, so Chloe needs to recover, and then like it was like the Terminator. Like it was like, you know, like all I saw was red and like, you know, heat signatures. And then Pam was the very next person I saw. And it was like target, you know. And, you know, Pam had already been giving me the eye like, yo, you know, you're just so handsome. And like, you know, you got a nice smile. And I'm like, you got some nice titties. Like, I just want to touch him. She's like, you could touch him. And then I started touching them, sucking them. And I just went ham on that girl. But the reason why I mentioned the tunnel vision is because I realized that we had not spoken about whether we were going to play with this couple.
So
or
long
not.
Story short, we ended up playing with this couple. And afterwards, like I was like, So we didn't have a conversation about that. Like, whether or not, like, this is a go or not playing with this couple. Mm-hmm. Like literally mid-play, like, I looked up at you and, like gave you a thumbs up and was like, you okay? And you were like, you gave me one back. It was like, yeah,
this
I'm good.
Is while she has my dick in her mouth.
Yeah. And I was pretty sure, like, he was eating my pussy or something like that. Yeah.
No, he was definitely eating your pussy. So... Pam was a lot of fun. Pussy was wet and she she had a nice asshole. I'll just say that. She had a nice asshole.
Wait, I thought you didn't like anuses.
Who said I didn't like it? I didn't like gaping. I didn't like porn and the gaping anuses thing. Okay. I don't need to see the inside of your rectum. But I love fingering your rectum. Like, I'll put my finger in your ass. I don't need a camera at the end of it, though. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And so she was very open with what she wanted in terms of anal. And I was like, okay, we'll definitely be in contact with you. So, yeah, she said she busted like 3 nuts. Oh. And I was very happy with hearing that.
Yes, because you always want a count.
Yes, I do. I got to see if I still got it. Mm-hmm. Now, you also told me that your experience with him, there was something notable about it, and I wanted you to share it on the podcast.
Yes, because I think this was at the time, I don't know, I think it was after Chloe's epic finger bang nut. But I was making out with Rich, but it was more than making out. And I don't know if this is a thing. Like, I don't know if there's a name for it. But it was like we were making out, but he was just like, you know, he was grabbing my body and he was, you know, squeezing my booty. And like I felt like he was trying to consume me. Like, I felt like I was going to be consumed. Like, just the intensity of the touching and interaction. And it was like that turned me on so much. Like, mm-hmm. It was just like, I can't even describe it.
Right.
Like, there was a point where he was like kneading my breast. Mm-hmm. Like, he was grabbing my breast. And it was like almost like it was that fine line between like pleasure and pain, but it was just so intense. Mm-hmm. Like, it was erotic.
Right. Because I feel like sometimes I get in that zone. Mm-hmm. Now, is that like, I feel like I get in that zone with you.
Yeah, that's when you have your release from prison fantasies.
Yeah. Like, you just, it feels like I want to just eat you. Like, I literally want to eat your body.
Yeah. Like, I just want consuming. Yeah.
Consuming. Mm-hmm. We need to figure out a name for it.
I don't know. I don't know if it's a name, if there's already a name out there or anything like that, but I like that shit.
Yeah. Because if I'm really into you, like if we have like.
Yeah. And it's not even about penetration.
No.
Not at that point, at least. Like, after that, like, I definitely need you to penetrate me or something. But it's more so just like being engulfed by someone.
Yeah, because there's no, I don't think there's any ambiguity that when a person does that,
you know
that they want you. Mm-hmm. Like, they want you. They don't just want to fuck you. Like, they just really want you. Mm-hmm. So they're like kissing you and they're like sucking on your lips. Mm-hmm. They're like sucking on your cheeks, your neck. They're grabbing at anything they can grab at. It's like every appendage just wants a piece of your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go in and then nuts start busting.
Yes.
Right. So yeah, that was great.
That was great. I had a great time.
No, it was a fun night. It was a fun night. I really appreciated it. And again, one of my favorite points of the night is when, you know, everybody's busted their nut and they're just.
Yeah, we like started talking about Game of Thrones.
We started talking so intensely about Game of Thrones. Yeah.
Like, it wasn't. It was a very in-depth conversation.
Right. I want to say that even the couples that were around us were having a really good time.
Oh, yeah.
So the host of the party. I saw him.
Yeah. Fucking.
He was enjoying himself. Yeah. Like, yeah, man. And he had a pretty hot chick, too, mm-hmm. Who was enjoying herself. And we saw another couple who was just, you know, they were going at it intensely, but for a long time.
Yeah.
And they were definitely into each other. And I love seeing that shit. Mm-hmm. Like, they were kissing. When they needed to take a break, they were just kissing and they were consuming each other mm-hmm. during their breaks. And then when they had enough energy, they were pounding.
Right.
Pounding. It was like real hardcore porn. And yes. Shout out to fucking Synergy. If you got a chance to go to a Synergy party, don't pass it up. What do we got going on? So Amore Getaways is doing 420
event. So there's a 420 festival here in DC. Recreational weed is legal in DC, FYI. You can't buy it,
but toke up.
Give it away. So there's a festival. I think Snoop Dogg is performing. Ludacris is performing. I don't know what the hell either of them are performing. But, you know, hey, shout out to early 2000s.
Snoop Dogg could perform any fucking song he wants. It'll be any track he wants. It'll be appropriate.
Yeah. So you can book through Amore Getaways. There's going to be a meet and greet on Friday, and then obviously you can get tickets to the festival, and then it's kind of a plan your own adventure. So if you know, if you haven't been to DC before, if you want to see the sights, if you want to, you know, go stick your middle finger at the president at the White House, you know, you go do that, go do your thing. But then you can also, you know, visit our local clubs around in the area, hang out there. But you know, we're gonna be participating. We'll definitely be at the meet and greet.
Yeah, we'll be there.
I don't know if we're going to the festival, but we'll definitely be at the meet and greet. And let us know if y'all want us to do something for you, like a Black and Kinky meet and greet or something for the festival, mm-hmm. or you know, you want to hang out with us at the club or something like that. You know, let us know. We don't know what we're doing, but we'll figure it out.
yeah.
We'll figure it out. But yes, that's the next event. That's 420, so April 20th. And then what else are we going to?
I think that's all we have planned in the near term. You know, on our next episode, we'll give some updates. By the time folks hear this recording, though, we would have already gone to a playground meet and greet that's happening
tonight.
Locally. No. Yeah, I know it's happening tonight.
But there's another one that we're going to later. Well, in May.
There is? Oh, yeah, on May 11th. We still got to confirm that, though. I don't want to.
I know. We're supposed to do something else.
Yeah. So, that pretty much sums up our episode. So, again, we'd love to hear from you. We appreciate the emails. We appreciate the retweets. We appreciate the sliding into our DMs. Feel free to slide into them shits.
Keep sliding in the DMs.
It just sounds so dirty, though. Sliding in the DMs.
Yeah, it's supposed to.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, don't send dick pics to our DMs because the bomber checks them too.
Yeah, you'll get blocked on some shit like that. Don't do that. Like, I think folks are safe sending titty pics, but no, none of that dick pic bullshit. All right. All right. Well, this is the Bell and the Bomber signing off.
Bye.
Black and Kinky, Black and Kinky,
Black and Kinky Lifestyle.